Okay, let's proceed on with our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This will be lesson 97, and the title of this lesson will be The Power Gifts, and specifically we're going to talk about the gift of faith in this lesson. Let's go back to our scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's just read our text here concerning the nine spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. First of all, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling us that he does not want us to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. All right, what are these spiritual gifts? Well, let's jump down here to verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. These gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These are not natural gifts that we are born with or anything like that, but these are supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit given at the moment to profit an individual or a group. Let's read what these special gifts are. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. These verses tell us several things. One thing it tells us in verse 11 is that these manifestations of the Spirit are given as the Holy Spirit wills. When he desires to manifest these gifts, they will manifest through us, through believers, through Spirit-filled believers. But it's not something that we can gin up ourselves whenever we want to. Another thing we see here is that one person won't have all these gifts. It says, to another, to another, to another, indicating and intimating here that one person might have one or more of these gifts, but no one person is going to have all of these gifts. Now, let's just review a little bit about what these gifts are. We've talked about the fact that they're nine gifts of the Spirit. These nine gifts are divided up into three groups of three. All right? We've already talked about some of these gifts. We've talked about six of them, and we're starting on the seventh today. First of all, we talked about the vocal gifts. The vocal gifts consists of the gift of prophecy, the gift of diverse tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. These vocal gifts say something. That's how they're distinguished from the other gifts. They say something. Again, they're the gift of prophecy, the gift of diverse tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Then there are the revelation gifts, which we discussed more recently, and they are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. These three gifts reveal something. Hence, they're called the revelation gifts. And now today, finally, we're starting on the power gifts. These gifts do something. They're called the power gifts. The first one we're going to discuss is the gift of faith. Then after this, we'll discuss the working of miracles, and then finally the gifts of healings. So today we're going to talk about the gift of faith. What is the gift of faith? As I mentioned, it's the first power gift we're going to discuss. Power gifts do something. All right? Let's talk about faith a little bit. I think we're all familiar with faith to some degree. And how does this gift of faith differ from the faith that we're all familiar with? Well, let's go back to our original definition of faith. Keep your finger here at 1 Corinthians 12 and just turn back in your Bibles to Romans, the book just in front of 1 Corinthians, Romans chapter 10, and let's read our definition of faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You want to know how faith comes? It's very clear here in verse 17 how faith comes. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to have faith in the things of God, you're going to have to become familiar with the Word of God. There is no shortcut to this. Faith is necessary to obtain, for example, answers to prayer. And if you want faith, then faith comes by hearing promises from the Word of God. For example, if you want faith for healing, you need to hear the scriptures that have to do with healing, the promises in God's Word concerning healing, such as, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed, or Himself the Lord Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sickness, or Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and in that curse was every sickness and every disease. We've been redeemed from sickness, redeemed from disease. Those are promises in the Word of God that, when heard, generate faith in our hearts to receive healing, for example. Really, when you think about it, the Bible is a faith producer. That's one of the primary purposes of the Bible, is to produce faith in the hearts of believers. When you got saved, you heard some scriptures or someone quoted to you promises from the Bible. That generated faith in your heart, and when you acted upon that faith, you became saved or born again, whichever term you want to use. You became a child of God. So faith then, natural faith or general faith, comes by hearing the Word. Alright? But what would happen, how in the world would you obtain faith for something that isn't covered by a word promise? That's where the gift of faith comes in. There are some things in the Word of God that God wants to do on occasion that aren't covered by a word promise, but yet require faith. And so in those cases, God gives something called the gift of faith, or supernatural faith, not a natural faith that comes through hearing God's Word, for example, but a gift of faith, which is a supernatural faith. The Amplified Bible calls it, or wonder-working faith, in other words, faith for working of miracles, given by the Holy Spirit to the Spirit-filled believer to receive miracles. Now, this is where the gift of faith differs from the working of miracles. The gift of faith receives a miracle, where working of miracles, that next power gift we'll discuss probably next week, works a miracle. Now, it isn't obvious without some examples exactly what this means, and I'll explain it in a little more detail in a second, but I just want you to get in mind right now that there is a gift of faith, and then there's natural faith. Natural faith is based upon hearing a promise in the Word of God. And since the Bible is filled with God's promises, you might say the Bible is a faith-producing book. Natural faith comes by hearing promises in God's Word. This is not a complicated concept. For example, if I told you I was going to meet you for lunch on Thursday at 3 o'clock at a certain restaurant, and you showed up Thursday at 3 o'clock, and there I was, and there you were, and we had a nice lunch, you would be doing nothing more than hearing a promise voiced by me, and then acting on it. Faith cometh to meet me for lunch by hearing my word that I'll be there at Thursday at 3 o'clock. And the same way with God's Word. Faith for the things in God's Word comes by hearing God's Word, hearing God's promises. But as I said, there are occasions where God wants to do something that's going to require faith, but there's no corresponding promise for it in the Word of God to generate that faith, and therefore God just gives the faith to us to work the miracle, well, or to receive the miracle. Really, the gift of faith receives the miracle, where working of miracles does a miracle. Let's see how that might work. Let's just think about this for a second. Turn to Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. We're not going to read this whole account, but I just want you to see the difference about the faith that receives a miracle, which would be the gift of faith, and then the working of miracles, which is a different gift. Daniel chapter 3, we have the familiar account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they, if you recall, they refused to worship this false god. And Nebuchadnezzar was very upset about this, and he was going to throw them in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't worship his god. And we're, let's go back to the last part of verse 15 in Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar is talking to them, and he says, you really should have fallen down and worshipped the image which I have made, but you worshipped it not. Therefore you shall be cast this hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? In other words, he's saying, you didn't worship this God of mine. Let's see what your God can do. In verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, they're not upset or worried about how we can answer you in this matter. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, in other words, if he doesn't deliver them, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. This is an amazing account here. Here's three young men who are being called on the carpet, so to speak, by Nebuchadnezzar, and he's telling them he's going to throw them in a burning fiery furnace. And their answer is very casual to him. There's no fear. There's no evidence that they're apprehensive about this matter at all. They're just saying, if God saves us, he saves us. If he doesn't save us, he doesn't save us. Now, this is an example of the gift of faith, where they just place themselves in the hands of God. Now, how would this differ from faith produced by hearing the word? In this case, they don't have any specific promise from God before they went into this fiery furnace. God did not speak to them before this and say, don't worry, when Nebuchadnezzar threatens to throw you in the fiery furnace, I will deliver you. It was just a supernatural, God-given faith at that moment to take whatever would happen and know that God would work it for the best. And they went into the furnace, and we know the account of this, and walked up and down in it all night long, and were not harmed at all. This was a miracle. But do you understand that they received the miracle before they went into the fiery furnace? They didn't work a miracle. See, the gift of faith receives a miracle. They just received this into their heart, this faith, and let it carry them through. This is different than working a miracle, but it's no less supernatural to receive a miracle. So there's a difference. I think it'll become more obvious as we go through our examples at the last part of this lesson. You might say then that the gift of working of miracles differs from the gift of faith in that the working of miracles actually works a miracle. But the gift of faith is passive. It receives or expects a miracle. But both the gift of faith and the working of miracles are both used to produce miracles. And I've given you this example here of a passive miracle, or a miracle that was received by them. In other words, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That would be in contrast to, say, the working of a miracle, such as when Jesus changed water into wine. See, in this latter case, Jesus worked a miracle. In the first case, the three Israelite children received a miracle. There's a difference there. And so the Word of God distinguishes these by giving them two different names. One is the gift of faith that receives a miracle, and the other is the working of miracles that actually works a miracle. But both produce miracles. Just to sum up a little bit, since miracles are not promised by any specific scriptures, in other words, miracles are just a little different than healing. Healing is not a miracle. Healing is, for Christians especially, is just simply believing and acting upon the promises of God. See, we have faith producing promises in God's word to receive healing. We don't need a miracle. What we need to do is to hear God's promises and act upon them, because hearing God's promises produces what? Faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But since some things in the Bible that God may want to do are not promised by any specific scripture, the faith for working them cannot be produced by natural faith obtain by merely hearing the word. Therefore, God provides a supernatural faith called the gift of faith to get the job done in this case. Now, this gives rise to an interesting thought, and I was just meditating on these scriptures this week, and it suddenly occurred to me that how important faith is. In other words, what I'm saying is this. Since God sometimes wants to manifest a miracle in our lives, whether it's through the gift of faith or the working of miracles, either one, in this case, He gives the faith to receive the miracle. That would be the gift of faith. Since God gives us the faith to receive the miracle, it stands to reason that faith must be required for whatever we as Christians desire from Him. Otherwise, He would just do it Himself. In other words, let's put this another way. If it wasn't necessary to have faith to receive these miracles, why does God give the gift of faith? Why doesn't He just do it? The reason for this is very important to understand. It's because God is a faith God, and He operates in the faith realm. And if we want to receive from God, we're going to have to operate in this realm too. Now, most of the time, we can receive what we need from God simply through finding the promise in God's Word that covers our situation. That will generate faith in our hearts, and when we act upon this faith, we receive that which we need, the promise in God's Word. But on some occasions, there is not a promise in God's Word for something He wants to do. And so on those occasions, God in His mercy puts that faith in our hearts to receive this miracle. That's called the gift of faith. It just shows me, if you look a little deeper, and I hope you understand this, that to receive this miracle, if God gives you the faith, then God is a faith God, and faith must be required to receive things from God. Otherwise, He would just do it Himself without anything, without putting faith in our hearts. Why doesn't God just go ahead and work His miracle or do what He wants to do? Why does He put the faith in our hearts to do it? It's because God is a faith God, and if we're going to be involved in this miracle, then we need to somehow get the faith in our heart to receive this miracle. And in these cases, this special case of the gift of faith, God gives us this faith. But here's the thought I want to get across. What about the other 99% of the time? And I'm not sure of that percentage, but it's a very much larger percentage of the time where we don't receive the gift of faith and we still need faith to obtain that which we need from God. God provides in His mercy the Word of God, the Bible, for us to receive faith from. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to get healed? You want prosperity? Find the promise in God's Word. Meditate upon that promise. Faith will come in your heart, and then you can receive that which God has promised. What I'm trying to say here is faith is so important. God is a faith God. In 90-some percent of the time, God provides His Word for us to get the faith. But there are some occasions where we need the faith to get something done that God wants done, and He just gives us the faith to do it. But in either case, faith must come in some way into our heart to receive the thing that we want from God, or the thing that He wants to do through us. Faith is required in both circumstances. In the gift of faith, He gives it, because there's no promise for us to base our faith on. But on the other times, it comes through hearing the Word, and God does not give us the gift of faith for things that are covered by His own Word that we can read for ourselves, then receive that faith into our heart, and then act upon that faith and receive the promise. Do you see the difference? It just showed me, I guess, it just like a light went on, it showed me how much I need to present myself to the Word of God to receive the faith that comes from hearing His Word into my heart so I can receive the things God wants me to have. And only in those cases where it's not covered by His Word, will he actually produce faith in my heart on his own through the gift of faith to receive the miracle that he wants to provide? It's a very sobering, very interesting thought, I think. And it shows me how much I need to know what's in the Word, the promises in there, because those things I won't receive the gift of faith for. I'll have to act on my own faith. Therefore, I better know how to get it, and I better know what's covered. I hope you understood that. I think it's a very important concept. I think it also explains scriptures in the Word of God, such as, without faith, it's impossible to please God. In other words, we need faith to receive from God. And without faith, we can't please God simply because there's so many things He wants to give us, and He can't simply because we haven't presented ourselves to the Word of God and let it produce the faith in our heart necessary to receive the things that God wants to give us. Another scripture, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That would imply that nothing is impossible if you can't believe. Let me say that again. There's a scripture in the Word of God. If you can believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him who believes. But that implies not many things are possible to him who doesn't believe. And how do we believe? By getting in the Word of God, finding the promise, letting it develop the faith in our heart, and acting upon that faith, and then receiving the promise. Here's another scripture. Remember when the disciples said to Jesus, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your lack of faith. Faith is so important to receive the things in God's Word. But God provides a promise for that, doesn't he? He said, he that believeth on me, Mark 16, verse 17, he that believeth on me in my name shall he cast out devils. Therefore, God provides the faith for that. There's a promise in God's Word that says, if we're believers, if we use his name, we'll cast out devils. There's a promise that will generate faith in your heart in case you ever need to do that. Here's another one. For by grace are you saved through faith. Every one of you that are hearing my voice right now, that are saved, born again, have exercised faith to receive that salvation. Because the Word of God says, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Everything that we need comes by faith as Christians. Everything that we need from God, that is. Here's another scripture. Mark 11:24, talking about prayer. Jesus said this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Do you desire some things? Well, here he tells you how to get them. What things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. What's the key? To believe you receive when you pray. All these scriptures show us that faith is required to receive the things that we desire from God. The only difference is there are two kinds of faith. One faith is produced by hearing God's Word, and the other faith is given by God, that's called the gift of faith, in certain situations to receive a miracle. But this is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit when He desires. Let's don't rely on the gift of faith to receive from God. Let's find out what's in the Word of God. Use that Word of God to produce faith in our hearts to receive the things we need. And then if on occasion God needs to manifest the gift of faith in our hearts to receive a miracle, so be it. But don't rely on that, because it's only a very occasional thing. And if we rely on that and wait for God to produce faith in our hearts, we may wait a long time. No, use the Word of God to receive the daily things that you need, the answers to prayer, the healing, the financial things that you need in your life. And then on occasion when God wants you to receive a miracle or do a mighty act, then receive the faith He gives at that time for that. Okay, let's move on now and look at some examples of the gift of faith. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. You're already there, I think, pretty close. Daniel chapter 3. Let's move on to Daniel chapter 6 and look at another example of a supernatural faith given by God to someone so they can receive a miracle. Daniel chapter 6, let's look at let's start at verse 16. Now we have another case here, and it seems like in Daniel, the Lord is really trying to get the point across about not worshiping false gods or just following his precepts instead of man's precepts. And here's another king that's mad because, or actually in this case, it wasn't the king that was so mad. It was the fact that he trapped himself by passing this law, and Daniel fell afoul of it because he wasn't going to bow down and worship this false god. And so the king has to throw him in the lion's den. And so here we are in verse, let's start at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Like I say, it was for he wouldn't fall down and worship at this certain time of day. Now the king spoke, and now the king kind of feels sorry for Daniel because the king kind of fell for this, into this trap himself, and couldn't go back on his word. So now he sees Daniel going into the lion's den, and he kind of hopes Daniel isn't going to be hurt. So the king spoke and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom you serve continual, he will deliver thee." But he's not so sure because he stays up all night worrying about this. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den after they put Daniel in the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So Daniel's in this den with all these hungry lions that they don't feed. They just every once in a while throw him a person in there. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He couldn't sleep, just thinking about Daniel in that den. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him, listen, because he believed in his God. Now, folks, this takes a supernatural faith, a God-given gift of faith, to believe without any specific promise from God. In other words, God didn't appear to him before he went in the den and say, "Daniel, this is what I'm going to do. Don't be afraid. This is what I'll do when they put you in the den. I will shut the lion's mouth." He had no promise from God specifically on this situation that would engender faith in his heart. That is natural faith, the faith that comes by hearing God's word. But he did receive a supernatural faith to believe that when he went into that den, he would not be harmed. It must have been supernatural, because he said he just believed in his God. Now, if you put yourself in that place where they got these hungry lions, and every time they throw somebody in there, they're mauled and eaten, and you're perfectly calm, you go in there and spend the night, and come out in the morning in good spirits, And then it says because he believed in his God and there was no specific promise, that must be the gift of faith. So one way is you go through the Bible to distinguish the gift of faith from natural faith is this. In general, whenever you see great faith exhibited in Bible situations or even in real life, whenever you see great faith exhibited without a specific promise from God's word to base that faith on, it's the gift of faith in operation. Let me just say this again. In general, whenever you see great faith exhibited without a specific promise from God's word to base that faith on, it's the gift of faith in operation. In other words, whenever you see great faith exhibited that's not based upon hearing a specific promise like we do for salvation or we do for healing or we do for prosperity or we do for whatever we normally need in this world, whenever it's beyond that and faith comes in your heart or great faith is exhibited, You can just generally say that is the gift of faith. That's how you can distinguish it in the Bible. Let's look at some other examples. Let's open our Bibles to the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, and let's go through this kind of hall of fame of faith and try to pick out, if we can, which ones were the gift of faith in operation based upon this general rule that I've just given you here. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just start at the very first verse, because this is such a good chapter on faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Let's focus on that last clause there. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, there's, as we said, there's two ways to obtain this evidence of something you can't see with your eyes. One is a promise in God's Word, which produces natural faith, we'll call that, or general faith. And two, the gift of faith. It can also produce the evidence of something in your heart, evidence in your heart of something you cannot see with your eyes or have any other basis except that faith in your heart. Now, like I say, there's two ways to get this faith. One is it can be obtained through the Word of God, the promises in God's Word, and secondly, sometimes, on occasion, God gives the gift of faith. Now, let's go on and read. For by this faith, the elders obtained a good report. And we go through some of these things. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Number five, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now I think in this case, I look in the Bible and I don't see any promise in the Bible at all that God is going to translate anybody. In other words, by translating, it just means he just took him off the earth into heaven. He didn't die. God, he didn't see death. He just, this God just decided, based on Enoch's faith, it says here, talking about faith in this chapter, keep in mind, to take him and to just to be with him without going through the process of death. Well, since there was no specific promise in God's word that any of us can do this, or never spoke to Enoch before this happened and said, Enoch, I'm going to do this, there could have been no faith produced in Enoch's heart from a word promise. Therefore, it must have been the gift of faith that gave Enoch this faith. So, I think this is an example of the gift of faith here, where Enoch went on to heaven without dying. And then we have our famous scripture, for without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Now, was this the gift of faith? Well, I'm not sure, but I think in this case it's a little different, because this case God told Noah. He said, Noah, this is what's going to happen. You need to prepare an ark. I'm going to save your family. Now, faith comes by hearing God's word. When God spoke to Noah, that would be God's word. And so faith could have come into his heart through that manner. This would not necessarily be the gift of faith, simply because God told him beforehand what was going to happen. See, the gift of faith is when there is no specific promise, but God just supernaturally puts a faith in your heart to receive a miracle. But in this case, God told him ahead of time. So that could have been just natural faith produced by God's word. Number eight, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. But he did have God tell him to go. And so he knew that God was behind this, and so faith could have been generated by God's word. This was not necessarily the gift of faith. Now let's keep going here, and let's see if we can find some that were the gift of faith. Let's skip down a little bit, and let's see. Let's go down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he that And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten Son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In this case, God, Abraham had a promise that Isaac was going to be used to produce more children, and God would work through Isaac to produce through Isaac's seed to produce many, many more offspring. But then on the other hand, God told Abraham to offer up his son. Now in this case, he did have a promise that said, through Isaac thy seed shall be blessed. But he didn't really have a promise that God was going to raise up specifically Isaac at this point. But Abraham looked through this to the promise of Isaac being the seed through which all the future generations would come, and trusted that even if he sacrificed Isaac, God would raise him up, even from the dead. Now, in this case, when I initially first read this, I thought it was the gift of faith, but remember, Abraham had this promise from God. And so, in this case, he could believe for the resurrection of his son, or if he was allowed to go through it, simply because trusting God's promise that through Isaac so his seed be blessed. So this was not necessarily the gift of faith. So you're saying by now, well, why is he reading all these things if they're none of them the gift of faith? I just want to show you in here the difference between the two. And so when we do find one, we'll see why it is a gift of faith. Let's keep on going now. Let's go on down to verse 32. Let's see. Oh no, let's go back to Moses in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid by 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, why in the world could these people not be afraid of the king's commandment? They did have no specific promise from God that Moses would be protected. They just decided on their own that they would not allow their son to be killed, and hid him. Now this could be the gift of faith in operation, because they had no promise that Moses would not be harmed by these people. They would not be harmed by these people because they kept Moses. So I believe this was a gift of faith in operation. Let's keep on going. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. All these things in here that were done without a specific, these are mighty works of faith that the Bible records for all these people and all these examples. Anything that came through this that wasn't based upon a promise given by God before he did it must have required a gift of faith, simply to believe for these things without any promise from anyone. Just that faith comes, that supernatural faith would come in their heart when they needed it, and they would believe God under these very, very difficult conditions. Here's one, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Whenever you see the dead raised in the Bible, that is the gift of faith in operation, simply because there is no promise in the Bible that specifically addresses raising the dead like it is a promise of healing, for example. You can't go to the Bible and say, God said, he that believeth on me, my name, in my name shall he raise the dead. I mean, that isn't a specific promise that one can believe for God for every time. But on occasion it happens. And on those occasions when God does want to do this, he gives the faith in the heart of the person he wants to work through to raise this person to the dead. This person passively receives a miracle through the gift of faith. Let's look at an example of this, of just an ordinary person who received the faith to have some dead raised to life. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll look at a beautiful example, I think. It's a rather lengthy example, but I think it's a beautiful example of the gift of faith in operation. 2 Kings chapter 4, and let's start with verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed into Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he would turn in and stop there to eat bread with the woman. And she said unto her husband, after this had happened for a while, she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. Well, he was the prophet Elisha, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, or on the roof, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he comes to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there. So they provided a place for the prophet to stay when he's passing through. A nice thing to do. And he said to Gehazi his servant, that's prophet Elisha now, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, Say now unto her, he's talking to Gehazi, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. In other words, they provided a place for him to stay. What should we do for you? What would you like? Would you be spoken of to the king? Would you like us to speak on your behalf to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then can we do for her? He says to Gehazi. And Gehazi answered, Truly, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when Gehazi had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, Elisha did, About this season, according to the time of life, you shall embrace a son. In other words, she's going to get pregnant with a son. And she said, No, my lord, thou man of God, don't lie to your handmaid. In other words, don't tell me this and get my hopes up and then not let it come to pass. And the woman did conceive and bear a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Okay, now she's got a little child. We're getting now to where the gift of faith comes in. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him in to the mother and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. In other words, he must have had a sunstroke. Now, this is a, try to put yourself in the place of this poor woman. Here she is. She's gone her whole life. She's in her older years now, and her husband is much older than her, evidently, and she's never had a child. And all of a sudden, she does some nice things for this prophet, and he asks her what she'd like to have, and she doesn't bring up anything. And then Gehazi says, you know, she doesn't have a child. And so Elisha listens to the Lord, and the Lord says, yes, go ahead, you know, tell her she'll have a child. And he prophesies that she'll have this child, and she does have the child. And she's so happy, and this child is growing up, and he's evidently, I don't know how old here, a few years old, 5, 6, 8, we don't know, but just a small child. And just, they're getting used to have this little child in his family. He goes out with his father to work in the field, and all of a sudden he dies. He has sunstroke, and by the time the servant carries him back to his mother, he dies on her knee. This is a horrible thing. But listen to what she does. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. And she shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Obviously, she's not screaming. She's not out of control. She's not hysterical. She's just lost her child. He's dead. But what is she doing? She calmly goes in, lays the child on the bed of the man of God, shuts the door on him, and goes out. Does she have a promise that God's going to raise this child from the dead? No, she doesn't. Is she exhibiting some unusual faith here? Yes, she is. Let's go on. And she called to her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and then come back. And her husband says, Why are you going today? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. It's okay. It's all right. The NIV says, It's all right. She's saying, It's all right. Her child had just died on her knee. How many of us could do that? And here we are, Spirit-filled, born-again believers with the Holy Ghost living in our spirits, children of the living God, sons and daughters of God, which this woman was not. Remember, this is before Jesus went to the cross. No one was saved back then. She didn't have the Holy Spirit. She didn't have anything going for her, really, that we do. Yet she's able to somehow operate in a degree of faith that you and I can't even understand. It shall be well. And she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite woman. Run now, I pray thee, Gehazi, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered him, It is well. Amazing. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord has hid it from me, and hath not told me. In other words, the prophet of God is not privy to what's going on here yet. But this woman is operating in a degree of faith that's incredible, considering the fact that she's just a normal person, does not have the Holy Spirit, is not saved, really doesn't have any of the advantages we have, but yet, look at her. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? In other words, she didn't go to him and ask for this child. Did not I say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, he gets a hint that something is wrong with the child, but she's not going to say anything negative about this child. Comes to mind, just as an aside, when Jairus called Jesus to come in and raise his daughter, or to heal his daughter, and then found out she was had died. Some servants came and said, He's died, trouble the master no further. Jesus very quickly said to Jairus, Be not afraid, only believe. In other words, don't say anything negative here. Be not afraid, only believe, because we've learned in previous lessons what our words, the power in words. You know, whatever you believe in your heart and say with your mouth will come to pass. Well, this woman seems to know somehow that she has a supernatural faith, and she watches what she says, and she will not say that her son has died or anything final about her son at all. She just simply says, Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then said he said to Gehazi, that is Elisha, said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. In other words, he's saying, get going and lay my staff upon the face of the child. In other words, he's saying, well, okay, I'm going to do what I know to do. But he doesn't have anything from God, obviously. He just says, lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as my soul lives, I will not leave thee. In other words, she's staying with Elisha. And he arose, Elisha did, and followed the woman. But Gehazi goes on ahead and passed before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. He gets there first. But there was neither voice nor hearing from the child. Wherefore he went again to meet Elisha and says, I tried this. This is what I'm paraphrasing. I tried this and the child didn't wake. In other words, what do we do now? When Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. All through this, this woman is exhibiting this calm, this faith. He went in therefore and shut the door upon it, on the two, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child got warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself again on the child. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi, Elisha did, and said, Call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she was come unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and went out. Now that was a lengthy account, but I wanted to read all of it to see how this woman, who was not a child of God, who did not have the Spirit of God indwelling her spirit, who was not a joint heir with Jesus Christ, who was not any, had no real rights or privileges, generated a faith that was supernatural to believe that her son would be healed and raised from the dead. How did she do this? How did she remain calm? How did she say to her husband when he asked her what was going on, "It is well"? It must have been this gift of faith given. She received the miracle first in her heart, and then through Elisha working the miracle, the child was raised from the dead. But first, she received the miracle. She knew in her heart that it would work out. Just go get the man of God to come and work the miracle. But she received it first in her heart. She received this faith in her heart. I think this is a wonderful example of the gift of faith. Well, there's many more examples in the Bible of people being raised from the dead. I have some here on the outline. Lazarus is another example. The widow's son at Nain. Jairus' daughter, which I mentioned briefly. There was a young man who fell out of a window in Acts chapter 20, verse 9, that was raised from the dead. All these cases of people being raised from the dead, where there's no promise in the Word of God that all the dead will be raised, are examples of the gift of faith in operation. So it tells us some other things too. Unless you have this gift of faith from God, you're not going to be raising anybody from the dead. But most of the things that we need, finances, healing for our bodies, and whatever, are obtained through natural faith, through promises in the Word of God. Some other examples of the gift of faith were when the patriarchs, such as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, would pronounce blessings upon their sons before they would die. This was not in response to a prophecy from God. In other words, God didn't say, "Tell them this," or "Thus saith the Lord." It was simply them, by faith, laying hands on their sons and confessing these things over them. A supernatural faith that God gave these patriarchs of old at certain times to lay their hands on their children and tell them in the future what would come to pass in their lives. That was the gift of faith in operation, not the gift of prophecy, because prophecy is a little bit different than that. And as a matter of fact, the simple gift of prophecy will not foretell events, but a prophet, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the prophet's ministry can foretell events. Now let's just look very briefly at Genesis chapter 49. I don't want to go through this whole chapter, but this is an example of where Jacob laid his hands on his sons, each one of the 12, of the 12 tribes of Israel. He laid his hands on each one of the 12 and prophesied over them and told some specific things that would come to pass in their lives. Verse 1 of chapter 49, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said," now I want to just say again, this was not something that God told him. We have no evidence here that God says, "Tell your sons these things." We have no instance where Jacob said, "And here is the word of the Lord," or "Thus saith the Lord," before he laid his hands on his children and foretold these things over them. So this differs from the gift, from the prophetic, from a prophet's ministry, in that it was simply him laying hands on them using the supernatural faith that God gave him. He received the miracle and then laid hands on his children. And it says here in verse 1, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Notice it says, "that I may tell you." It does not say that "thus saith the Lord," or "that God told me to tell you." He says, "that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." The gift of faith is he received this miracle, the tremendous faith in his heart to just lay his hands on his sons and say what would happen in their lives. And he goes through one by one all of his children, saying what they shall be, things that will happen in their lives. But I just wanted to use this as an example of showing how the patriarchs of old have the gift of faith manifested through them. Now again, I want to emphasize that Joseph called his sons, in verse 1 it says, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Not thus saith the Lord, not that the Holy Spirit's saying, not that God told me to tell you, that I may tell you. The gift of faith is in operation here. Now let's contrast that with prophetic utterances. Let's go to Acts chapter 11, verse 28, and we'll see another foretelling of things that shall befall someone. Remember he said right here, I tell you that shall befall you in the last days. Let's see of the prophetic gift in operation, a prophet's ministry in Acts chapter 11. Just turn there. Verse 28. Acts chapter 11, verse 28. Let's see. Verse 27 first. In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Here is a prophet. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, who was a prophet, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Notice in this case, he says he signified by the Spirit. In the first case, with Jacob, it said he told them. Doesn't mention anything about the Spirit. In other words, Jacob did it through the gift of faith. But here, Agabus did it and prophesied using the word of wisdom what was going to happen throughout the world in the latter days. Both of them told of events yet to come, but in this case, it was the word of wisdom through a prophet that told something that would come, where in the other case, it was simply Jacob receiving the gift of faith and saying what was to come. Another example of just like this, same prophet Agabus, is found in Acts 21, verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind this man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Again, it says here, Thus saith the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is saying through Agabus something that's going to happen in the future. And again, this is a word of wisdom foretelling something that's going to happen in the life of Paul. We've already talked about the word of wisdom. So if you want to review what that is, just go back to that teaching. Now, I want to again say the difference between the gift of faith and this word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, it says here, Thus saith the Holy Ghost. In the other case, it says the Spirit said through him. But notice back when Jacob told future events, it just said, He said these things. In other words, God gave him the faith to speak this over his sons. Two different gifts used in different ways. In the first case, in Genesis 49, where the patriarchs bless and tell what would befall their children by faith, it's the gift of faith. In the other cases here, when Agabus foretold events that were to come, it was the word of wisdom. Different gifts, same general results, but I wanted to see the difference between it. In one case, the Spirit spoke, and the other case, he just spoke by the faith God put in his heart. So Jacob spoke by the faith that God put in his heart. And we know that this was by faith when Jacob spoke. If we'll go back to Hebrews again, in our famous faith chapter, chapter 11, and look at what it says. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. In other words, this was the gift of faith. He had no promise from God, no word from God. He just did it by faith put in his heart. And here in verse 21 is our example we just read. Excuse me. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Here we see that when these patriarchs of old prophesied, or not prophesied, but really just spoke words of faith over their children. We're seeing here they did it by faith. It doesn't say they did it by word of wisdom or anything else. It doesn't say the Holy Ghost said through them. It just said they did it by faith. But to say things that are going to happen in the future without a specific promise from God covering this is the gift of faith. It's a supernatural faith given at a specific time by the Holy Ghost to receive a miracle. Well, that completes the teaching I had today on the gift of faith. I hope this explains to you about the gift of faith so you can see what it is now. And in the next lesson, we'll go on with the next power gift, which would be the gift of the working of miracles. Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained. Okay, let's now go over our homework for lesson number 97, which was on the gift of faith. I think the best way of finding out what we've learned sometimes from these lessons is just to ask a few questions, and let's see if you can answer now. Now, based upon what we covered in the gift of faith, let's answer these questions. True or false? The gift of faith is the first revelation gift. True or false? That's false. The gift of faith is the first power gift. Remember, the gift of faith is one of the power gifts, and the power gifts do something. The gift of faith is a power gift, the working of miracles is a power gift, and the gifts of healings is a power gift. The revelation gifts, recall, are what now? The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Those are revelation gifts. They reveal something. And then, of course, there's the vocal gifts, which say something. And they are the gift of prophecy, the gift of diverse tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. So the answer to this first question is false. The gift of faith is not the first revelation gift. It is the first power gift. True or false? Power gifts do something. Revelation gifts reveal something, and vocal gifts predict something. True or false? Well, that's false. It's true that power gifts do something, and it's true that revelation gifts reveal something, but it's not true that vocal gifts predict something. Vocal gifts say something. The simple gift of prophecy or diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues will never predict anything. A prophet can do that on occasion. But the simple gift of prophecy, remember, is to edify, exhort, and comfort. It never predicts, so that also would be false. There are two kinds of faith, salvation faith and healing faith. That's false. There are salvation faith and healing faith are two different kinds of, are different applications of faith, but they're not the two kinds of faith we're talking about here. The kinds of faith we were talking about, recall, are natural faith based upon God's word, by hearing God's word, and then the gift of faith that is given to receive a miracle that's given as the Spirit wills at certain particular times when the Holy Ghost wants to manifest faith in our hearts to work, to do some particular work or to receive some particular miracle. So that would be false. There are two kinds of faith, but these aren't the two kinds. The gift of faith differs from the working of miracles in that it receives a miracle, while the working of miracles actually works the miracle. True or false? That's true. That's exactly how the gift of faith differs from the working of miracles. It receives the miracle. You remember our example of Daniel in the lion's den. He didn't actually work a miracle. He simply received a miracle. He received the faith in his heart to believe God to protect him from those lions. He didn't actually work anything. So that was the gift of faith. True or false? Therefore, the gift of faith is passive, while the working of miracles is active, since it does something. That's true. The gift of faith is passive. It receives something. It receives a miracle, while the working of miracles actually works a miracle. True or false? Both the gift of faith and the working of miracles produce miracles. They just differ in how the miracles occur. Well, that's just another way of saying what I said in the question before that, and it's true as well. Both the gift of faith and the working of miracles produce miracles, and they do differ in how the miracles occur. Remember, the gift of faith receives the miracle, but the working miracles actually works the miracle. However, they both produce miracles. So that's true. Natural faith is produced by hearing the word, whereas supernatural faith is received by a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit if and when He wills to do it. That's true. Natural faith, for almost everything that we need, the faith that you're going to be using 99% of the time, is produced by hearing the word and in acting upon the faith produced by hearing the word. Whereas supernatural faith, or the gift of faith, is received by a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit if and when He wills to do it. That is true. Name the primary reason for the gift of faith. How many can do this? You'd have to be listening pretty closely, and if you can answer this question right, you really understood the lesson very well. What is the primary reason for the gift of faith? The primary reason for the gift of faith is for God to give us the faith that we need to receive a miracle for something not specifically covered by a word promise. In other words, it just shows us how necessary faith is to receive anything from God. And most of the things we receive from God are received from what? Natural faith, based upon the Word of God. So the primary reason for the gift of faith is for us to receive the faith for things God wants us to do that aren't covered by the Word of God. So that's the primary reason for the gift of faith, to receive a promise from God not covered by the Word of God. Both of them require faith, and so in one case, the gift of faith, God gives us the faith that we need. In the other case, the Word produces the faith when we meditate His Word. True or false? One way to tell when the gift of faith is in operation is when you see great faith, in other words, great faith exhibited without any specific promise from God's Word that He will honor the faith. Well, that's kind of a long sentence, but it's true. One way to tell when the gift of faith is in operation is when you see great faith. In other words, if you're going through the Bible and you see great faith exhibited without any specific promise from God that He's going to do the thing that you have the faith for, that is the gift of faith. God puts that faith in your heart that's not based upon His Word to work to receive the miracle, I should say. Daniel worked a miracle by the gift of working of miracles when he showed no fear in being lowered into the lion's den. True or false? Well, is that true or false? That's false. Daniel didn't work any miracle at all. He simply received a miracle. And that would be the gift of faith, not the gift of working of miracles. So that would be false. Jesus received a miracle by the gift of faith when He lay down and slept through a violent storm. Well, then that would be true, because there was no specific promise from God at the time that, son, just lay down there and there's going to be a storm, but don't worry about it. Or He didn't say anything to the people that were in charge of getting the boat from one side of the lake to the other. He just laid down and slept in the middle of a violent storm. That have to be the gift of faith. Now remember, people, you know, just don't fall in the trap and say, well, I was Jesus. Remember, Jesus gave up His godly powers, according to Philippians chapter 2, when He came to earth. And that's why He was able to say in John 14:12, the works that I do shall ye do also. Simply because Jesus was not ministering as the Son of God when He was on this earth. He was ministering as a anointed person. In other words, He was anointed by the Holy Ghost when He was baptized in River Jordan and operated as a normal person, but anointed by the Holy Ghost. So, yes, that's true. Jesus received a miracle by the gift of faith when He lay down and slept through a violent storm. True or false? It would be the gift of faith in operation whenever anyone is raised from the dead through men's faith, since this faith is beyond natural word-based faith. Well, that's true. It has to be the gift of faith in operation whenever anyone is raised from the dead, since this kind of faith is not promised in the Word of God and therefore is beyond natural word-based faith. You'd have to have the faith to do it, but how else, if you couldn't get the faith from the Word, would have to come from the gift of faith. So these are just some questions that I put in here to kind of enable you to see a little bit more clearly, possibly, what the gift of faith is all about. I hope you did well on this homework, and I hope you understand a little bit better what this gift of faith is and how it's used.